problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It is the drive, Dave, Katie, and Nate. Stanley Johnson was your number 8 pick in last year's draft.
Big Stan.
Way too early there. The number 8 pick in the previous year's draft, also way, way, way too early for this guy, but a lot of potential. Nick Stauskas.
Okay. Lots of, yeah, he's going to have a long 10-year career, right?
Tell you who's a big fan of him.
Wednesday horse.
Brian Geltziler.
Yes.
Loved Nick Stauskas yesterday.
He was a huge fan. Embarrassed.
He told you were wrong.
Yeah, well, what
you
is,
were wrong.
He does this for a living. Previously to that, your 8 picks in the draft: Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Terrence Ross. That was 2012.
Brandon Knight. Good one.
Al-Farouq Aminu, Jordan Hill, Joe Alexander, Brandon Wright.
Joe Alexander, man, you're up there.
Rudy Gay was a number 8 pick.
Rudy Gay the year before. Channing Frye. T.J. Ford, though, I take T.J. Ford was a badass at Texas, and then it hurt his back,
his neck, and
yeah.
Everything.
That's
his
a tough neck, one.
Brian Grant was an 8
whole thing
for the
out of Xavier for the Kings.
Here's the deal, though. You guys can agree with this or not, but it sounds to me the names you listed.
Yeah.
So far, Rudy Gay's the best one on that list.
Agreed.
Really? You don't think Jamal Crawford is the best on that list?
Yeah, we haven't named him yet.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I mean, I think even then, I love Jamal Crawford. I like him more than I like Rudy Gay, but he's also like a career 38% shooter from the field. I mean, I don't know. Like, so there's a discussion between those two guys.
And Rudy is actually the most clutch player in the NBA in the last 10
literally,
years.
Absolutely correct.
So. My point is just that any group of players that counts Rudy Gay as the best.
Tom Chambers was an 8 pick.
There you go.
In 81.
Big Tom.
You weren't even born in 81.
I sure wasn't.
I sure wasn't.
My wife was born.
No, I was still a $50 tip from a barmaid away in 1981.
Wow. Detlef Schrempf was an 8 pick.
There you go.
So there's that. I don't know what the hell you do. Good thing I'm not Vlade.
You sit back and pray, man.
There are some on this list. This list goes back, the one I'm looking at goes back to like 1980. And there are some really good 8
picks. There are a lot of contributing NBA players there. I mean, I don't want to just dump on everyone.
I get it, but
there are a lot of names. There are guys that are solid NBA contributors. There's just not any superstars in that list.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If the Kings could get the next coming of Detlef Schrempf, I'm fine
with that. Hell, if they got the next coming of Rudy Gay, I think I'd be fine with that for like 4 or 5 years.
Look at the number 1 picks, too.
Bo Kimble was an 8 pick.
Bo Kimble. He was a horrible NBA player, dang, one of the greatest stories of all time. Hank Gathers, Loyola Marymount.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns won the Rookie of the Year as the number 1 pick in the draft. We were going back over. We were doing this off the air. Like, who's your all-time best number 1 pick? Who nailed it? Going back to when the lottery really got its start, Patrick Ewing. So that knocks out Hakeem Olajuwon. If you go back to 85, this is a tough call. I'm going to give you a name. Let's just play a real quick game of King of the Hill. I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me when somebody knocks it off, and we'll start with Patrick Ewing. So he's your king.
Okay.
He's the best number 1 pick of all time right now. Okay. Brad Daugherty.
No.
David Robinson.
Yes.
Okay.
You think he's better than Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
I do, too. Okay. Katie, you disagree?
You know what? I was not watching basketball in 85.
Good point right there.
So I can't say David Robinson had a ton of success. I'm kind of indifferent on this one because I can't say it with authority.
It doesn't tell the whole story.
Okay.
But
David Robinson, though, best body in NBA history, right?
Nobody, you like him.
Dude, I mean, the guy's 7 foot tall Navy man, right?
Yeah.
I think we'd all like to have that kind of muscle
mass,
right, Dave?
Yes.
Hey, now. 20 points, 9 boards, 2 assists for Patrick Ewing, 24.3, 12, and 2 for David Robinson, a couple of titles. But again, that didn't tell the whole story. Danny Manning?
No.
Purvis Ellison.
Out of service, Purvis.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Wednesday horse. Derek Coleman.
No.
Larry Johnson.
Nope.
David Robinson is still the current king of the hill.
Larry Johnson's got the best celebration of all, though.
Yes, he does.
LJ, yeah.
And one of the best commercials ever.
Yeah.
Grandma Ma.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so as of right now, David Robinson through 1991 is the all-time best number one pick overall since the year of Patrick Ewing.
Right. Here's where it changes.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Agree. Shaquille O'Neal is your current king. Chris Webber.
No.
Glenn Robinson. Ready for this?
No, but the numbers are better than I thought. Yeah, I mean, I knew Big Dog was pretty good, but I didn't realize he retired averaging 22 a game.
Right.
Welp, say goodbye to Shaquille O'Neal. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Smith. Allen Iverson.
No, not quite.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Here we go.
This is a tough one.
The year was 1997.
The 1996 was when he was 96.
Huh, what'd I say? 96?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got him. I'm sure it's a 97 draft.
Yeah, but the lottery.
Yeah.
96.
Tim Duncan.
Oh, gosh. This is where things just
still
go.
Going. I'm still going with Shaq. That's a tough one, but I'm still going with the big fella, man. You cannot teach the size of Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay, I'm going to say, and this is really difficult for me, but I'm going to say just in terms of overall success, I mean, both had great success, but I'm going to say Tim Duncan.
I'll tell you why I'm going to agree with Katie.
What is the matter with you guys?
I'll tell you why I'm going
to
agree with her.
Mansplain it to me.
And this is not exactly fair to Shaquille O'Neal. Because I'm looking at the two, and my criteria is who had the best overall career, best contribution. So you got the 5 championships, of course. But you also had the 5 championships, no drama, and same team for an entire career. And that, to me, I think Shaquille O'Neal statistically is a better player, but I think Tim Duncan was a better player.
He's a better player on better, like in terms of teams. Like
healthier.
They've got production from, he's been a star player on a team that's had multiple stars.
And played longer.
Yeah.
Contributed longer.
I'd still take the guy that's impossible to guard.
Hey, listen, Shaquille O'Neal in his prime versus Tim Duncan in his prime, I don't think it's a contest.
Yeah.
It's laughable how much better Shaquille O'Neal is. But how long did you get for Shaq versus how long for Tim Duncan? Add in the drama, add in the different teams.
I don't know that it was that far off. I mean, Shaq got into the league 5 years earlier than Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
He bounced around. I think the only thing you have to stand on is the lack of drama and the stability with one team.
Right.
To me, that one's still not. I love Tim Duncan, man, but Shaquille O'Neal, like you cannot guard him. There was no way to physically match up with Shaquille O'Neal. Duncan, you could take your chances at least with someone.
We can continue this argument between Shaq and Tim Duncan.
But, I think we should.
When we get back from the break, the next pick is going to knock all of this off.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned because this next one is going to blow those two out of the water.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will continue this. UOP, baby. Damon Stoudemire. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Your man on the road, he doing promo. You say keep our business on the low.
This is your what?
This is why I love Jay Johnson. It's like he knows me. Comes back with The Weeknd.
You look even better than the I like The Weeknd.
I love The Weeknd.
Friday's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, I'm always thinking about going back to work.
Yeah.
And you're excited about it because you get to see our faces. Who wouldn't be excited about that?
Biggest problem I have with The Weeknd, the band, is that they don't know how to spell.
Ugh.
You forgot an E, bro.
You consider a pop group a band?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've always had trouble with that.
It's actually a good story.
It's a good band. I don't know.
You know why there's no extra E in Weeknd? It's Weekend. It's a true story. Cliff Clavin here. apparently, there was already a Weeknd.
Yeah, you see that, Katie.
There was already a Weeknd.
It was registered and patented or whatever the hell they do. So, and he wanted the name. It's a guy. So he left a knee off. So it's some guy who's the weekend, which I don't believe in that either. If you're a guy, go by your guy name. You can't be a band. Like, remember that song Let It Go by Passenger? That it's you don't remember Passenger? Is your mic not working anymore? No, Nate's mic's not working. Sorry, Nate, you're not allowed to talk anymore. You have overrun your ability to talk for the day. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Anyways, their passenger was one dude. I'm a big believer in that. Here's the deal with Shaquille O'Neal and Tim Duncan, by the way. I was wrong, shockingly, talking about how Tim Duncan played so much longer than Shaquille O'Neal, which you'd think. Shaquille O'Neal played 18 years.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan just finished his 18th year. So there's that.
Well, and Tim Duncan may or may not be done.
Tim Duncan, exactly. There may be still a lot more Tim Duncan. But here's where there's a giant difference to me. Shaquille O'Neal in his 18 years played 1,207 games. Tim Duncan played 1,392. Yeah. So in the same time
and
period.
And had what, 1,001 wins?
Yeah, something crazy like that. So they both played 18 years, but Tim Duncan played 185 more games and surprisingly played 35 more playoff games on top of that.
That's impressive.
Shaq played 216. Tim Duncan played 251. So, again, I present that to you. I mean, listen,
Shaq's got better numbers.
He does. He does.
But what numbers really matter? Does scoring matter more than winning?
I'm not sure. I think it's the whole package, the scoring, the rebounding, the inability to hit free throws, all of those things that are important.
This is one of those things
the
where
last
I think
one was kind of sarcastic.
Yeah. No, I gathered that.
One of those things I think would be very interesting to look at totals over averages.
Yeah.
I have.
You know, my ultimate sticking point is all things being equal, I'm going with the bigger dude.
Okay.
I think that's pretty much where I have to reside with that.
I know we're looking at number one picks, and we're comparing number one picks. But when you just break it down and compare position-wise, Shaq is a different position than Tim Duncan. They are probably both the best at their position. You can't argue those.
Whoa. I don't know. Tim Duncan, you can't argue. I think you're going to get some arguments about Shaq in
really?
The center. I think you will. I think you'll get some arguments about Shaq in the center position.
Okay.
I absolutely do.
So
I think,
who do you make an argument about?
I would say Kareem. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the best center of all time. Personally, I do. I also think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Totally different games and different time periods, always makes it difficult.
I mean, well, Kareem played for 70 years. I mean, he played like three eras. It's a whole different conversation. I think Kareem's the most underrated NBA player in history. I really do.
He most easily forgotten.
I think people forget how stupidly ridiculous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career.
You're going to have to fill me in on this because it was before my era, but I get the impression that Kareem was really kind of Tim Duncan-y in the sense that the dude just went out there and beat the hell out of everyone, didn't really say a whole lot about it, and was just so ridiculously consistently dominant that people just started to take it for granted after 20 years.
Yeah.
You could make it. The thing about Kareem is, and I'm no Kareem Abdul-Jabbar expert, but here's some arguments you could make. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the smartest NBA player to ever play. And I'm not talking about on the floor. I'm just talking straight human being IQ. Literally the smartest person to ever step on a court, number one. Number two, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the most interesting person to ever play in the NBA, number two. And then, of course, number three, his ability and what he did. Just some quick fun things with Kareem, just to sidetrack here. He was an NBA champion six times. He made the All-Star team 19 times. First team 10 times. He is the all-time leader in scoring in the NBA. Led the NBA in blocks four times. Won the NCAA tournament three times. And remember this, by the way. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would have come out of high school easily. He played 4 years at UCLA. So anyways, I think Kareem.
It's not Kareem that has like a zillion kids, right?
I don't think so. No, I don't.
Why am I thinking of Sean
Kemp? You talking about Wilt sleeping with over 10,000 women?
Wilt.
Okay.
And you're gonna get an argument there with Wilt as well. Anyways, okay. So let's say Tim Duncan and or Shaquille O'Neal. Katie and I say Tim. You say Shaq.
I'm sticking with Shaq.
Okay, that's fine. King of the Mountain right now. We got a break here. Michael Ola with Candy. Does he take the cake? No.
Okay.
Talk about all-time greatest number one pick since Patrick
Come
Ewing.
Come on now.
Elton Brand.
No.
Kenyon Martin.
No.
Kwame Brown.
No.
Yao Ming.
No.
When we get back, we'll hit 2003 and we'll finish this up. We have a potential winner here. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. I'm sorry because I'm blanking on it. Don't tell me.
Your name is Dave.
Damn it, it's Incubus. It's Incubus. I knew the song. Sometimes Jay stumps me. It's a drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. I'm 4 years old. I have ADD, so I'm going to get unfocused when something like that happens. Forgive
Incubus.
Me. By the way, at the golf tournament yesterday, the Golf and Guitars, said at the top of the show, fantastic event put on by our sister station, KNCI. Obviously, a country station, country artists out there. And lo and behold, playing in front of me was this guy in these red, white, and blue shorts, tats on his arm and neck, playing in a foursome. And, you know, you get stopped up at a golf tournament sometimes on holes, and you're all BSing and stuff like that. And he was one of the guys in the foursome we were BSing back and forth with. So it took me about 11 holes to realize that the guy in the foursome in front of us that we'd been talking to was Aaron Lewis of Stained.
Oh.
A band that I loved when I used to work at the old Quad 106.5.
Do you even know Stained, Dave?
Do I?
Do you even know
Stained? Let me tell you about Stained.
Do you even know Aaron Lewis?
I got in trouble in 2000 for sneaking a song called Mud Shovel into the overnight rotation because I freaking loved it so much, and you have timing issues sometimes. And the song, I believe, was like 3:41 or something. So I would stick it into the rotation, and program directors get very angry when you play program director on a music station, probably also on a sports station. But so I would sneak it in because I love this new band. And then they played a show called Snowcore with another young band, System of a Down, over at the community center. And then, you know, they can't, you know, outside and all. You know,
so you snuck it in.
Stain was a great band. Stain was an amazing band. And now Aaron Lewis has done the Hootie and the Blowfish thing, and he's crossed over to country. Aaron Lewis is now, if you've ever heard Aaron Lewis's cover of the song Sober by Tool, look it up, of course, at 9:01 after we're done. But look it up. He's got an amazing voice. He is now he's a middle-aged man with dad bod and some tattoos, a slight beard, totally normal.
So he's decided he was country.
I had no idea who the freak he was.
Let's be honest, Nate. Everyone's country.
They sure are when there's paycheck in it.
Well, Aaron Lewis is Stained. So we want to get to Giants and A's because big win for, that's him. Big win for the Giants last night in Madison Bumgarner, who is salty as usual. I think even bigger win for the Oakland Athletics and some big time power coming out of that. It was a great end to the A's game yesterday. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about the Western Conference Finals, along with whatever that Eastern Conference Finals thing's
going on.
I want to wrap up this conversation that we're having about the draft. If you missed it yesterday, and I'm sure you didn't, here's what the Kings did.
The eighth pick goes to the Sacramento Kings.
Wednesday horse.
Hello, Wednesday.
That's what they're doing. We're just goofing and talking about the greatest number one pick of all time from Patrick Ewing forward, basically since the
playing King of the Castle
lottery
here.
System started. It's funny, we were talking about Shaquille O'Neal and whether or not he's the best center of all time. You know, on Twitter, there's some pretty passionate people that are just, there's like, hey, it's not even a conversation. Shaq's the best of all time. I really thought there'd be some old schoolers coming out with me on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, 25% of adult internet users are on Twitter, Dave. I think that's a pretty small cross-section.
Right,
so, I would imagine a lot of that probably speaks more to your theory on Kareem than it really is a referendum on Shaq's greatness, which is just that Kareem gets forgotten.
He does.
You know, he just
it really does.
The guy's like right up there at the top of every single major record in the sport.
Yep.
And who do we talk about? Michael, Kobe, Shaq.
Sure.
You know, whoever. Kareem doesn't make the list.
He doesn't. And again,
Is he just too silently consistent and dominant for too long? Did people just take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for granted?
Yes, I believe people took Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for granted. I think Kareem wasn't, I want to say he didn't have his own shoe, but I think he did something with Converse, but Kareem was not very the most marketable guy because mm-hmm. Kareem was kind of an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was kind of, you know, he came off as an a-hole, and that's why he's tried to break back into coaching, and he's not having a lot of success because the guy is ridiculously well-read, like a Taekwondo black belt or something crazy, was an actor. I mean, listen, he carried the movie Airplane, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, he's so diverse and so freaking smart, and I think a lot of people... He just didn't come off right. He
rubs
almost
them the wrong way.
Yeah, very almost. It's not a good. It's not the best comparison, but almost Rick Barry-ish,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
really. and but when you look at the guy, and again, I'll stress it again. This is a guy that played 4 years at UCLA. So when we talk about Michael, who played 1 year at North Carolina, when we talk about guys that came out, Kobe Bryant, who came out of high school, imagine Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the all-time scoring champ. What does Kareem Abdul-Jabbar do adding 4 years, 3 years, 2 years to
right.
that? Yeah. Which makes it even more amazing to me. But we're sitting here, and you're saying Shaq. Katie and I are kind of sliding towards Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Also want to remind you, we have the Twitter poll out right now. You can check it at Carmichael Dave, at The Drive 1140, and, of course, at Sports 1140 KHDK here. Do you think the draft lottery is rigged in the NBA? We put that poll out at 6:30, about an hour and 10 minutes in. 331 votes so far. 52% say what, guys? Yes or no?
Yes.
52% of the people out there say... Yes, the draft lottery is rigged. I want to believe it's rigged.
They also believe that, you know, officiating is rigged.
Yes, which it probably, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think the lottery is rigged. I don't.
I don't either, but I understand why people might think that, because whenever there is a process that you don't see it actually taking place, you think it's rigged. Now, if they literally went up there and drew the lottery balls at a little bingo machine, that would eliminate all this problem. But how big would that machine have to be with all the balls, like the size of this room?
If you look at it realistically, yeah. I mean, when I say realistically, I feel like that's condescending. I don't mean that. In my world of realism.
Jeez.
No. I think we're all on the same page here. Let's think about it. Is the draft lottery rigged? Okay. First off, they show the picking of the lottery balls after the draft on NBA TV. So somebody say, well, that's recorded. They don't show it live. Well, because it's stupid TV. It's boring. Although I do think they should show it live. I think there's a lot of people that would watch it just because we're nerds. But let's think about that for a second. Risk versus reward. There are way too many people that would have to keep that secret.
Mm-hmm.
And if one person, which they would, decided to cash in. Let me ask you this, Nate. If you had proof that the NBA.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Thank you. If the NBA draft lottery was rigged and Nate Goodyear, you had proof that the lottery was rigged, what do you think that story with proof is worth to a news organization? Because I'm saying it's probably about $5 million.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
That's where we'd probably start.
Yeah, it would be a seven-figure number.
And the NBA would...
This is some Eric Snowden stuff
Would be Jonathan Snowden?
Yeah.
Eric Snowden's the guard. Eric Snow? Wasn't it Eric Snow?
Jonathan.
Eric Snow. Yes, Jonathan Snowden. You would have way too many people that have to keep this secret. And then it would come out. And then the NBA would lose. I mean, look at what they went through with the whole Donaghy thing. Imagine what they'd go through with the freaking ping pong balls for the draft. By the way, you'd then have franchises all leveling multi-million, if not billion-dollar lawsuits at the parent company.
Would they? Because they're in on it too, Dave.
Why would you? Mm-hmm. If you're the Kings, if you're the Nuggets, who've never ever moved up in the lottery. By the way, the Nuggets have never moved up in the lottery. If you're what's in it for you to be in on it? They'd be leading the whole charge.
I couldn't give you the Denver thing, but you know, in terms of Sacramento, hey kids, we kept your team there. We got you an arena. Come on. I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years now, right? No number one pick. There's promises that take place down the road. There are things that happen. You think it's coincidence that Denver stumbled their way into an up-and-coming young coach like Michael Malone? Hell no. That was rigged, man. That guy could have gone anywhere. But Denver knew that they weren't going to get a high pick in the draft, so the league promised them Michael Malone. You see how easy that is, Dave?
The league promised Michael Malone. By the way, did I say Jordan played 1 year at North Carolina? Somebody on the text line.
I don't know. Said, I don't remember that.
If I did, I apologize.
I didn't remember Jordan. Michael Jordan even coming up.
Well, I was talking about...
had Kareem in college.
Okay. Well, if I said Jordan played, well, he played 3 years at North Carolina. Somebody corrected me on the text line. That would be a
We left off with Yao Ming as a number one pick.
So you and I are sitting on
We're
Tim Duncan.
We're still sitting on Tim Duncan, and you're sitting on Shaq.
Yeah. So
good luck with that.
Yao Ming.
Sitting on me.
We're moving on from Yao Ming. I mean, Yao Ming's a cute pick and all that. Probably Hall of Famer. Yeah. He is Hall of Famer. All right, Yao Ming. So here we go. 2003, according to my notes here. 2002, probably according to your page.
No, 2003.
Okay. LeBron James.
In the conversation, but I'm taking a big fat no on that one.
Wow. I'm saying.
So you're putting LeBron ahead of Tim and Shaq, huh?
See, no love for the fellow post players, Katie. What's up with that?
The difficulty in this is now we're getting it to a point in the lottery history where a lot of these guys are still very much in the midst of their career. And that's where the conversation gets difficult, because Tim Duncan, even though we don't know if he's retiring or not, we know the biggest body of his work is done. Maybe he plays another season, but that doesn't affect anything. When you look at LeBron James, I think it has to be in the conversation.
Oh, certainly in the conversation.
This is where I'm willing to say, yes, I would take LeBron over Tim, only because there's the unknown factor. He's still very much in his prime, even though it's starting to come to an end, in my opinion. But he is one of the most versatile players to ever play the game.
He's 31. He'll be 32 next year. And he's won 2 titles, 12 All-Star games, 4 valuable, most valuable players, 2 finals MVPs, 5 all-defensive first teams. I think he's in the conversation. I can't.
He's in the conversation, but
I can't I can't put him in his 2 titles ahead of, and it's not all titles, but I have a hard time putting.
What about earning potential? When does that factor in? Because we talked yesterday about what is reportedly going to be a massive deal with Nike, upwards of $1 billion. Where does that factor in terms of marketability and earning potential and all of that?
What did we set our criteria on to start? Were we talking about any of that?
We really didn't set it. We just started with the list and went down it and eliminated people as we went. But we did, and that's where I think the difficulty comes in now, is because we're getting to a point in the 2003 through now. All these guys are still playing.
I feel like the spirit of the conversation was return on investment. But even that, like the Nike deal, the Cavs don't really get a piece of that. That's going in LeBron's pocket, Maverick Carter's pocket.
Well, and you remember that
nonsense. No, it does go in their pocket.
Right.
It does, because they have a player on their team that people want to buy the jersey, they want to watch, they want to buy tickets to come to the game.
Specifically about the Nike deal, though. No, I mean, there's other returns on investment for LeBron James, no doubt about it. Look at Cleveland last year and this year and compare him to the year before he showed up, when it was Anthony Bennett and Kyrie Irving and Pray for Rain. So, all right, so we have Shaq, Tim Duncan, LeBron James in no particular order. We don't even need to probably finish up. Dwight Howard, no. Andrew Bogut, Andrea Bargnani.
Andrea Bargnani.
Odin.
Who?
Rose.
Maybe.
Griffin, Wall, Irving, Anthony Davis. Then you get into Bennett Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. I think almost an even more fun conversation would be the biggest bust number one pick.
Always.
And that's good.
King
of the bust hill. Yeah, it's something where, and Greg Oden's certainly in that conversation. Oluwakandi's in that conversation. But for something like that, I would put Oden over Oluwakandi every time because of who got picked behind Greg Oden. Yeah. That's Kevin Durant.
Yep.
A lot of people think Sam Bowie's the biggest bust of all time, and he might be. But remember, Sam Bowie was drafted number 2, sandwiched between a guy named Hakeem Olajuwon and another guy named Mike. The crying meme guy.
The dude that cries on the internet.
Yeah.
How is it, like, Dave, is part of the Shaq thing with you, you're Kings homerism? I mean, like, I don't.
It's a fair question, but it's not. Okay. It's a fair question, but it's not.
There was never a time in my life where I was banned from watching Spurs games because Tim Duncan was too frustrating to watch.
Sure.
My mom used to not let me watch Kings and Lakers games at home because I would throw crap at Shaq on the TV. And, like, there's never been another athlete that was, because there was nothing you could do with him.
Yes.
No, I disliked Shaq.
Vlade was, like, the only guy that could even come close to stacking up with him physically.
You're right.
And Shaq made him look like a flea.
Yeah, he broke Scott Pollard's chest, I think, one time. Like, Scott had to pick up pieces of rib off the floor, and God forbid Lawrence Funderburk went up against him. I hated Shaquille O'Neal when he played. Hated him. Now that he's done with his career, he's retired, all that.
He is an owner of the Kings.
Which I hate, by the way, and have always hated. The fact of the matter is,
there's some other people that hate that, too.
Yeah, you think? Hmm. I'll bet. Here's the problem. I admit that Shaquille O'Neal is immensely marketable. He's got a tremendous amount of IQ. IQ is not the right word.
Charisma.
Charisma is the word I'm looking for. That Q rating. I get it. He's not a good rapper.
No. Well, and this is, I'm sure you guys do remember, but, you know, before Shaq got really big, where he was early in his career with the Magic, how well he could run the floor. I mean, he would show glimpses in the All-Star games, like, hey, Shaq's got a little handle, whatever. But when that dude first came into the league,
Dude, my buddy growing up, my best friend growing up, was a diehard LSU fan. I actually remember watching Shaq at LSU, and I believe he was playing with Chris Jackson at the time. And just watching this guy in high school, who I'd never seen anything like it. He did not belong in college. At all. He should have been banned from college. Brian, you're on the drive. Brian in Modesto. I can hear Brian.
We know there's something there.
Is Brian going? I'll put him on hold. Brian, I'm putting you on hold. All right, I'll see if Brian is still there. To wrap this up, just some quick facts about the NBA draft and the lottery itself. In 1994, the NBA adopted its current lottery system. The lowest-ranked team not guaranteed the top pick to prevent tanking. Hey, since then, the worst-ranked team hasn't managed to grab the number one pick since 2004 when Orlando did
it. That was Dwight Howard,
and that all ended yesterday with the Philadelphia 76ers. Hey, Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, buddy, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, it's got to be Tim Duncan, and this is my reason.
Go for it.
I agree that Shaq was a more dominant player, but when you're talking about the best pick, and that's going to be for that team, Tim Duncan, he did play for that team for how many years?
18.
All of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how many years did Shaq play for Orlando?
Three?
Did he leave after?
So how is he a better pick for Orlando?
Yeah, so you know what, Brian? We had a conversation off air during the last break of taking this conversation to the next level of who is the best number one pick of all time. And I believe it was our good buddy over here, Nate Goodyear, that said, you know what, I got to take Tim Duncan.
Return on investment. Yes. Yeah, I won't argue with that.
That was my exact thought. That for that team, who can beat Tim Duncan? I mean, maybe you put Kareem up there, because he was on the Lakers for so long.
Yeah.
But he played four years for Orlando.
That's a great point. I mean, I'll happily concede that. Return on investment for one team, it's Tim Duncan, it's not close.
I forgot.
And how nice is it as an organization when you draft a player, a number one pick, a guy like a Tim Duncan, you know, even a LeBron James, so on and so forth, to have the ability to never have to worry about losing that guy in free agency?
Right, yeah, which
that was my thought exactly.
Yeah.
Did you have something about the lottery itself too, Brian?
No.
Okay.
No, just that.
Brian, the reason I ask is because do you think it's rigged?
No, I don't think it's rigged. I think it's fun to think that maybe it could be.
It's a good conversation to have the day after.
There have been seven teams that were originally slotted seventh or lower that moved up to the top three in the current format. The Spurs haven't been in the lottery since 1997. That was only their third ever. And of course, we know what happened there. Colleges provide most of the players who are selected in the draft. 45 different schools have given birth to the number one pick since 1947.
Given
such a
birth?
Weird way to put
yes,
it.
I know.
As in placenta and all?
Yeah, after birth, the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a couple of those years, the Kings accidentally drafted the placenta.
You guys want to take a guess as to what school has given us the most number one picks? So it's three.
Is it Kentucky?
You think it was Kentucky?
Ah.
The Duke Blue Devils.
Is it?
Duke.
Although, you know what? I have a feeling here. I'm looking for a date on this thing. I have a feeling that this thing is actually a little bit old. Because it might, Kentucky might tie them. Hold on. Because Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns alone are two. Is there another kid? Am I forgetting
since
another?
80, since 85?
We're talking about since 1947 number one picks. Has there been another number one kid?
Not seeing one. Stand
really
by.
Really? Another number one Kentucky player. That's it.
It's got to be there.
Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns. Wow.
John Wall, duh.
John Wall, there we go. There Thank is, you. Yeah, okay, three. So they're tied.
And those came all within, I mean, a very quick succession.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nate, don't look at your screen. Okay. This is tough. I wouldn't have gotten this. The last time a college senior was the first overall pick in the draft was the year 2000.
The year 2000. Oh, goodness.
Do you remember who it was?
I don't.
Katie?
I don't remember.
Well, we'll tell you when we get back. Nice. It's The Drive. Yep, that's right. Sports 1140 KHTK.